Our Savior speaks to us. I have come to bring fire on the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. But I have a baptism to undergo, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two and two against three. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. The gospel of our Lord. Does what Jesus says here in these verses surprise you? Especially that not peace, but division part of it? From the world, from the culture in which we live, when anybody's talking about Jesus, they're only talking about love, they're only talking about tolerance, they're only talking about acceptance, they're only talking about ever bringing peace between people, whether that be individuals or whether that be nations. Jesus represents peace and only peace, and that's the only possible thing that you are allowed to think about Jesus until you read these words and come to realization that that is not at all what Jesus ever taught. I understand that as someone in the public eye, there are often contexts in which people are watching to see how I'm going to be reacting to something. And I'll be honest with you, and hopefully maybe you'll never say these words because you know it's getting me going inside. But I have a really hard time biting my tongue and not reacting, at least not wincing, whenever I hear a certain phrase. It can happen in counseling or marital counseling or in conversation. It certainly can also happen in congregational assemblies and other situations in life. Sometimes you just hear it in culture. When somebody is unhappy with somebody who is purporting to be a Christian, whether it's the thing they say or the thing they're doing or an attitude they're demonstrating, it seems like the ultimate zinger to give them is, well, that's not very Christian. And I don't know what that means. When I hear that, I don't know what the person saying it is intending. Because I don't agree with you and you're making me unhappy, you're making me uncomfortable, no Christian would ever do that, so you're not being a Christian in this moment. Is that what they mean? This idea, this definition of how Christians act and what Christians think, when the scriptures clearly present to us a Jesus who is intending to free us from our sins and our guilt and our obligations towards God, to have the freedom in Christ to live and choose for ourselves which good works will be the ones that we address, which priorities we will set in our lives, which choice of words we will use for our own intentions in any given moment with hopefully the best outcome possible. To always have someone assume that if you use that word or do that thing or set that priority, you couldn't possibly be a Christian, really changes the whole conversation, doesn't it? Especially when it comes to verses like this. You know what the world says about Jesus. You know what you've been pounded to be convinced to trust and believe about Jesus, and then you hear him say something like this, and your natural reaction is to say to Jesus, well, that's not very Christian, but it's Christ who's saying it. So clearly, we've got this all turned upside down and backwards. When I began studying these words and thinking on these verses of Luke chapter 12 for today's devotion, that phrase was actually the first thing that came to my mind. Jesus says very clearly here that he did not come to bring peace, but division. Or as the old translation would say, bring a sword. To bring the threat, to bring the division that only God can bring in a positive way. And ultimately what Jesus is telling us is that if we think everything God has to say to us will only be positive from our perspective, only uplifting and never challenging and always correct according to the momentary correctness of culture and relationship, that's not what he's all about. No one should ever be telling the one who created everything that is the universe that we experience on a daily basis, and then who entered into that very same existence as one of us to save us from eternal death by innocently experiencing human death, that we get to decide what he's going to talk about and how he's going to talk about it. And when we decide that it's a certain way to talk or think, that we get to use his name to label it as the way that it is appropriate and now sanctioned for everybody else. Because Jesus taught a lot of very hard things. And most of the things Jesus taught that most people find hard to accept, those are things from the law side of the balance of law and gospel. That moral tightrope that Jesus actually walked every day. Episodes like this one in Luke chapter 12, they led to moments during Jesus' ministry, one of which we looked at in the Gospel of John this morning in Bible study, where the great masses of people that were assembling to hear him, to receive a miracle from him, to understand better who he was and what he could all do and how it was going to change their world, when he started talking the law, when he started talking the truth of God in its more depth and fullness, we're told there were multiple episodes where the big groups of people just walked away from him. He's talking things that are too hard to understand, or even worse, things that we just don't want to accept, even though we understand them to be from God and very powerful and very special. The message he's offering, that's not what we're into, so we're walking away. It gets so bad at one point that Jesus is only surrounded by his immediate 12 disciples and asks them the question, Are you going to wander away from me too? And Peter, on behalf of all the rest of them, asks a very good question of Jesus that you and I should also have on our hearts. If we're finding something Jesus has said to be repulsive and pushing us away, he asked, who else are we going to go to, Lord? You are the one that has the words of eternal life. And ultimately, that's where Jesus is pushing us. He wants us to understand that there are times when he won't sound very Christian. And if you open the scriptures to read extensively throughout God's interaction with humanity over 1,500 plus years that the Bible was recorded, you will hear all kinds of things that our world and our culture today would insist are not very Christian. God has always been very clear and plain and powerful in his statements about what human sin is and his expectations that he has set for every single human being that ever hopes to stand in his presence, acceptable to live in his eternal kingdom. What's also fascinating about that is that God puts himself in front of us as perfect and holy. He also presents to us human ancestors, Adam and Eve, who were also created to be holy, to live in a holy, perfect world, in a holy and perfect relationship with God. And we know from the Genesis account in chapter 3, when they rebelled against God and broke his universe, broke themselves, broke everything that God had created with their sin, their immediate reaction? It's mind-blowing to hear it. They blame God. Adam actually says to God, it's that woman you put here. How crazy is that? And so God has to thunder his law against them. They're thinking he's not acting very Christian at the moment in regard to what we do until he says, no, you're never going to eat from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil again. I'm sending you out of this garden. I'm posting a flaming angel who will keep you from eating from the tree of life as well. You're no longer welcome in my presence. You're broken and your whole world is broken, and now we've got to follow a different pattern. I've got a different plan. God was never going to let them get away with it, and he's never going to let us get away with any of our nonsense either. So it should be no surprise that when Jesus arrived in the world, God in human flesh, that his teaching that was clearly also condemning of all sinful human failure and offered the good news of righteousness from God as a gift that he alone could give, that he would make every believer eternally right with God, that would become an exceptionally controversial teaching amongst human beings. The people of Jesus' day fought against that with every fiber of their being. They insisted that that did not allow for them to play a role, for them to be the ones making a bargain with God and figuring out how they would live their lives in a way that God would find acceptable. In other words, they didn't have the right that they were proclaiming they deserved to decide what was Christian and what was not. And human beings have been arguing with God since the beginning. And so he tells us in these verses, when anyone takes God's side in any given situation, no matter the relationship, the odds are pretty good that the person on the other side that is hearing God's truth clearly, even if it's presented in a very objective and winnable way, will face opposition. Will face fierce pushback, and will even get to the point where that relationship, maybe that household, maybe that workplace is divided, 2 against 3 and 3 against 2. And as Jesus goes down the list of the family relationships, you see it, you know it. You know it to be true when Jesus says it, because you've seen it in the world in which you live, even in Christian families. Even at times when both sides of the argument truly are believers, and they really shouldn't be bringing out the big nuclear reactor, this isn't very Christian, as the way to point at their opposition and say, you're not living the way you're supposed to, because neither side is. And that's Jesus' whole point, is that it's about him and us, him setting the truth, him defining the conversation, him determining what is right and what is wrong, and how it's going to be dealt with by God in all of eternity. Usually the one who is on God's side will have a moment in which the other side will turn. It happened to the prophets. It happened to the apostles. It happened to Jesus himself. And it has happened and will happen to anyone who chooses God's divine truth over human nonsense any given day. Not peace, but division. We wish it were not so, and we try to avoid it as much and as long as we possibly can. But if you intend to take and make every word your God has ever made available to you as something you will follow, something that you will confess and defend, something you will apply to your life and the lives of others, you will no doubt find conflict will be a part of your life. Instead of telling Jesus that's not acceptable, instead of telling him that that isn't very Christian, instead of pointing at him and asking, why does this have to be? It's a far better thing to react by thanking Jesus that he's so honest with you. Because in that honesty, it actually proves his point. Very rarely will you find other human beings, especially profound leaders, who are trying to move us in directions that are in our best interest for the much longer trajectory, that kind of transparent and honest with us. And yet Jesus has been so honest with you and me in places of scripture such as this, leaving no doubt about where he really stands on the issues, where he is calling us to stand on the issues, and what it might cost us because it cost him the same. When Jesus states this phrase so simply in these verses, he is basically saying, I am always going to preach the law, I'm always going to teach the law, I'm always going to apply the law to human lives. But I'm also always going to share the good news of forgiveness of sins committed against that law in balance to that proclamation of the law. And Jesus readily admits that no human really wants him to do that. So that it will always create tension between those who hear and those who understand the judgment of God in that moment, no matter who the one speaking those words might be. Could be from here, but more often it's in our lives. The Christians that surround us, those lives that we invest ourselves in because of our love for and our interest in those other people. And Jesus makes it clear, those most invested, most intimate relationships at times will be in the crosshairs of this reality. And Jesus readily admits that it will create tension between God and humans, and thus between humans and other humans when they take God's side. None of us is perfect. I believe we would all agree with that statement, hopefully. I mean, we know ourselves well enough, hopefully, on a daily basis to realize we're not perfect, and far from perfect, we're not actually even any better than anybody else. I mean, all of us can find somebody smarter than us. All of us can find somebody more noble, more highly charactered than any of us. We all need to admit that. We all need to understand that. Not just when we're looking around the room, but also when we're looking in the mirror, we need to come to that conclusion. None of us is perfect. But very few, if any of us, enjoys admitting just how far from perfect we truly are. Especially when it comes to our thinking and speaking along with what we're doing. We certainly don't want anybody else keeping track. We certainly also don't want other people thinking on us in a way that they're strategizing how to tell us something that we really need to hear. Because whether the intervention is about something exceptionally serious or something that just would make everybody's day better, don't use that particular facial expression. Or when you use that word, realize how people are hearing it. It could be that simple, or it could be something much bigger. That maybe you're putting a family or a workplace in jeopardy of losing a contract or causing an investigation or you name it, the realities of life because of who we are and how sideways we can go and how quickly it can happen any given moment. There could be and should be a reason why somebody else is looking us in the eye and telling us a truth that is hard for us to accept and hating them for it. Pushing back against them as not being very Christian isn't going to change the reality of what God's seeing in that moment. Such reality will always bring us into conflict with God pretty much every day. And so it also brings potential conflict with other people, the people who share our lives every single day. And God knows our only shot at living better, happier lives in a better, happier world is for more people following his plan. But his plan can step on anyone's toes at any given moment. And it's in that moment of pain when God's truth is stepping on our toes that we want to cry out, "Wait a minute. That's not very Christian." As if Christians always forgive even without confronting a sin. But that's not, nor has it ever been, God's way. God has always consistently shown human beings of every era that being good with him requires honesty, brutal and objective honesty from us. It is only when God has proven his law to us in all the many ways that he does that, through the written word that we hear, through the confessions that we join in and respond to the people around us who become the mirror that God has placed in front of us for us to see ourselves. It is only when God's law is proven in those moments that we are broken, helpless, and unable to answer for ourselves. Say nothing about saving ourselves, that the Holy Spirit can finally lead us to depend on and trust and believe solely in the perfect life and the innocent death of Jesus in our place as our substitute, making us right with God and solving the problem of death and sin and guilt and eternity all in one very definitive resurrection from the dead. So that is the division that Jesus must always bring to every life and even in every situation. The truth that God is the only one who always gets everything right and always only has the true eternal answers that will make everything different and that will fix everything broken about us. That's the only path forward that he allows us here. And that's why Jesus calls himself a divider. He intends us to be divided from each other. He intends us to be divided from our old sinful nature for the purpose of healing us. He knows that if he doesn't confront us, we are lost. And if he doesn't divide us from the sin around us and the sin inside of us, we will never embrace the perfection that he gives us as a gift. So that when that perfect is ours, then it also becomes our guide for living better today. He wants us to understand the roles that his word plays, both law and gospel, in beneficial and blessed ways every single day, so that we embrace it. It's that word that becomes our guide for living better today than we did before we believed and before we appreciated God's love and goodness. And so God's way is the only way that anything works for our eternal good. And he works very hard every single day to use every situation and every person that walks into our lives to hopefully be the kind of objective mirror that we need to look at ourselves. Look at ourselves and perhaps come to the conclusion about our own attitudes and our own words and choices. That's not very Christian. I've got to tune back into God's word, and I've got to make sure I'm not the one that's causing problems for others. He works very hard to lead us to that realization and will divide as often as necessary to eventually bring us the peace that he alone can give. As hard as it may seem to you, you and I, we have every good reason in this season where he will cause us wounds that will heal us to praise our God for wounding us for that purpose. We're going to study many facets of those realities over the coming weeks through the gospel lessons and especially the other lessons that support these truths on this journey in coming weeks. And while that may lead us at times to think the way that the world would want us to react to these things, maybe it will even enter our minds. This is not very Christian. Hopefully, Jesus will turn us to realize that not only is it Christian, but it is the best thing that Christ and his Christians can ever possibly do. To take God's objective truth, what God has clearly said to us, about us, for us, seriously enough, to put any relationship at risk of division, when the eternal peace that Jesus wants us to know is clearly at stake. Amen.